Hello and welcome back to Uneducated, the show where we feel dumb so you don't have to. I'm your host, Cami Scott, and today I'm joined by Greg Gonzalez and Joe Cloyes, the co-founders of Youth to the People, a 100% vegan, cruelty-free, sustainable skincare for all. Today we discuss the unique story and how the company came about, why they believe it is so important to focus on their ingredients and their impact on the environment and their community, and how they almost ruined their family business when getting started. Let's get into it.
We're definitely talking about it. We talk about it all the time, like what's the path to going back to the office? And it definitely looks like some sort of a hybrid approach and, you know, use it more as a meeting space and a, you know, creative working space and less of a like formal office where everyone has a desk and a chair and a printer and things like that. We just don't need that. I don't know that we needed it before. We just kind of thought we did. And so, you know, create the flexibility for people that maybe they want to be in more often than others.
It's actually really cool that we can rethink like what the office environment is, make it a truly creative space. You know, when people are in, it's really inspiring. It's collaborative. So we've kind of taken a step back. Of course, we had started to set everything up and had all the, everything was, everybody's working a certain way, but now we're like, well, let's look at this. And there's always an opportunity in certain things like that.
So to talk a little bit about Youth to the People, I think that you guys have such an interesting background of how you got into skincare. For those listening who don't know, can you give a little bit of a history with your family and your grandma and how skincare became such an important part of both your lives?
We'll start with, so Greg and I are cousins. We've been in beauty our whole life. Starting with our grandmother, who along with our grandfather had a hair salon in the 60s and 70s, starting in Philadelphia. They moved to the East Bay, Danville, which is about 30 minutes from San Francisco, brought the whole family. They had seven kids and started a hair salon there. as they were building that hair salon, our grandmother really got into aesthetics. They started offering facial treatments. She was importing a skincare line from Europe, from Germany. Loved doing facials. Loved what aesthetics was all about, was really into it, learned a ton about ingredients. And they started building that business. She started distributing skincare to other estheticians, or really cosmetologists at that time. There weren't estheticians in California. And selling the products to other cosmetologists, they started building there. And so really was one of the pioneers of offering these services in the Bay Area. Our grandmother and grandfather got divorced in the mid 70s. During the divorce, he kind of took everything. And with that, she lost the distribution to the skincare because there was no longer a man in the business. And that set her on the path. She kind of had two ways to go. And she went on the path of, all right, well, I'm going to go make my own skincare line because I love this. I love skincare. I love the also idea of helping other female women owned businesses start up, because the esthetician, the cosmetologist, it can be one person and have a very successful business, do very well. And she loved that. She had that entrepreneurial spirit from day one, and she wanted to teach everything she had learned in her lifetime to other people. And that really kicked her off on that journey to making skincare and helping out other businesses the way she could with her knowledge. And then that, as that business grew, she started her skincare line in 1979. Built it, very small company, still a small company to this day, but run by our two aunts, Lori and Lisa. Lisa's also Greg's mom. And so we, all of us as kids, like I said, our grandmother had seven kids, six girls, five of them are estheticians or cosmetologists. So everyone is in beauty in some way, shape or form. So we're always around hair salons or the family business, you know, putting stickers on samples or trying out new products or getting facials if they needed a body for a class they were doing, and just grew up around it. And kind of kicked us off on our journey in beauty. Didn't know at the time, and I'll let Greg take it from here, but didn't know we were going to get into beauty.
Yeah, I mean, one of the most fortunate things for us was just being around that many like strong and powerful and motivated and independent women. You know, we didn't realize what an influence that would make on us, but, you know, my mom and all the sisters that were estheticians, you know, you do learn so much innately that you don't realize, like, you know, knowing what hyaluronic acid does in a serum at 10 years old, not necessarily the normal thing, but for us, we were like, oh yeah, she launched this product called Hydrate in the 90s. And it was one of the first hyaluronic acid serums. So we were learning about that. And as you get a little bit older, you realize like, okay, this is really built into our DNA. And we went down different paths. I played baseball and studied music creatively, Joe business and golf, and we're doing our own things. And then we went and started working for the family business and realized we had that entrepreneur spirit too. It was just deep within us. And professional skincare lines can be a little bit difficult to navigate, or skincare lines with a lot of SKUs in general. So we started to think about like, okay, well, we have these super effective formulas, you know, really on the, you know, our grandmother never used the word clean, but they were pretty much what clean is today, minus using parabens way back in the day, but like really from a very natural line, but then with hard hitting, effective clinical actives and sort of the best in science. But we wanted to think back from like a formulation side of like, how do we simplify this? Like, how do we take that quality and simplify it? So that was sort of like the formula inspo. We started with the cleanser serum and cream, like a really easy one, two, three step regimen. But the other side that was kind of happening around, this was like around 2012, 2013. I had just moved to Los Angeles and, you know, I would walk outside my apartment and there was a new juice shop popping up in every corner. And so we started having these phone calls back and forth, like, all these like cool superfoods that everybody's drinking. I'm drinking kale every single day. You know, spinach, alfalfa, all these amazing like green leafy superfoods. And no one had really tapped into that, those like antioxidants and phytonutrients. And so we started to think about like that, those ingredients were really speaking to us. And that was a cool moment, sort of an aha light bulb thing of like taking both of those together.
Yeah, it seems like being ahead of the curve kind of runs in your family. The fact that your grandmother was focused on quote unquote clean beauty, even like just focusing on skincare back then, I feel like it was all about like primping instead of prepping. It was like so much makeups and how to use makeups to alter the way you look instead of focusing on your skincare routine. And then you guys taking all of the health trends and noticing that people cared about what was going in their body, and then they would soon be caring about what goes on their body and what's being absorbed into our bodies as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Definitely on the progressive side. I mean, she even had custom like vitamin packs for skin type. Like, you know, I think was that in the 90s or early 2000s? It was way back. I mean, it was like,
late 90s. Yeah.
Yeah. Like late 90s, you know, and crazy. it was almost too early. Like a lot of people didn't even like understand it. And then we took, you know, they ended up going away out of the line for a while, but that sort of connection to what you do for your body inside and out and what you put on your skin was something that we were always connected to.
Mm-hmm. I feel like so many people, when they have a family business and if they're interested, even sometimes when they're not interested, just fall into that family business. What made you want to kind of break off and do your own thing? Because as you said, your grandma's skincare line is still going to this day. How did you go and kind of create your own lane instead of just falling into what all of the women in your family were doing?
Yeah, it's funny, as we were both working at the family business, Eva's Aesthetics, and working with Lori and Lisa, we started to talk about like this building of this new line. As Greg said, the simplification, taking some of the, it was like, let's take a couple of our hero products and kind of take them more retail, because we were always so back, we're always so professionally driven, which we still are. We wanted to try something in the retail, just direct to consumers. And as we started looking at that, we realized we had this passion for other things that we wanted to bring in, and we wanted, so we realized it was a new brand. It was a new organization, but it started being a new brand, and we launched it as a new brand underneath our family's business, and really convinced them, got the support. Lori and Lisa worked so closely with us on it. And like, you know, we got it kind of like launched out of the back of the business, kind of had all this infrastructure that we were able to leverage from like ordering from our current suppliers, really small amounts for us, and the warehouse shipping our orders, all these things. And it started building quickly, really, really quickly. And at some point, this new brand was getting so big, it almost actually like took down the family's business in a way, because everything was happening so fast that the success also brings like, you need more cash for things. You need all these operational things come up, and everything was kind of focusing on that. And so we realized, okay, it's time, we have to split the business out. We went through that process, raised venture capital to help us do that. but our aunts, Lori and Lisa, are still involved heavily with the business, still part owners of the company with us and everything. So it's still very much a family operation. We just had to finally do the separation to allow for the growth that we're seeing.
Yeah, really smart. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead, Greg.
I was going to say, yeah, one of the things we realized that was, it's difficult when we were trying to work backwards of like, how do we take these products and make it right? Or like it, a lot of times, if you can start with like a really blank slate of creation, then you can get to like a more pure idea. And so that's what we started to find as we were trying to like sort of work with the professional line. And the other big inspiring thing that hit was just the conscious like awakening that was happening around the world and the power that people were realizing they had with their dollar and just the change that people wanted to make like internally with their own lives on a small level, and then bringing that outward to the community. And so that with the ingredients, that's what the real like the essence of Youth of People is, the inspiration. And so once we kind of realized we had this deep inspiration from those two points, we were like, okay, this is it. And then we can build that from like a completely clean slate. And then, as Joe mentioned, we convinced the family and almost crashed the business. And like literally like bad. Like we were like, we didn't sleep for, there was a couple of weeks. No, I mean, my mom and our Aunt Lori were like, you literally, we have a 30-year business. So like, we're going to crash it. It's one of those things of like, you say yes to, you say that you can handle a purchase order, and then you got to figure out a way to make it happen. So it was an interesting
little first, wild ride there for a bit.
Yeah, we learned firsthand the grow too fast and what that can do. So but we made it through, and then still talk to our aunts every day, so we made it through
as
a family.
We're still talking to them.
That's terrifying. I mean, getting into business with friends or family or anything can be really nerve-wracking. So I'm glad it all worked out for you guys.
Yes, too.
It definitely can. We have, we have a large family, and I think the four of us just really always connected, even as kids and growing up. We just had that connection. We're all very close naturally, and I think it helped us to work really well together. And we have that understanding that even when things aren't great or we have difference of opinions or we're upset, like we understand it's like just at that moment, and we don't hold on to it. So you That's get over great. Things really quickly. I think that built-in family makes it that level of trust makes it so great. And then at the same time though, if you don't have that level of trust, even within family, can make it difficult.
Yeah. And I guess growing up, seeing that and all your family members going through that, you know how to communicate as business partners, as family, and it kind of melds together for the perfect storm instead of a mess of a storm.
Exactly. <Yep.
laughs> You guys, as you said, you grew so quickly, but I also feel like not even that initial growth was maybe your biggest growth. Since I've heard of you guys, I mean, I saw your first location in downtown LA, and I think there was, 11 of you working there, and that was your whole team. And now you've grown even larger. How are you controlling that growth and navigating it? Because you mentioned it was hard in the beginning. I'm sure it's not getting any easier. Was it kind of a fake it till you make it mentality? Or did you guys just have the skills from watching your family? Like what were those things that really got you through those growth periods and being able to adjust for anyone listening who has a company and needs a little advice?
That's a great question. I mean, I feel like at every stage of like when you're embarking on something and you're seeing some success, you're always kind of have that little fake it till you make it, or like, okay, I've got to walk through something that I've never been through. But then you kind of realize that all of your experience kind of leads you up to that next point that you need to walk through. But I think for us, it's just, it's the people, it's bringing people into the team. It's bringing talented people around us. It's listening, learning, it's trusting our gut in the right times, trying to learn from our mistakes as quickly as possible, understanding that you're going to make mistakes. That's okay. But it really is like finding that sweet spot of making sure the right people around you trust in your people, and then always going back to your gut, because you're getting more and more information, right? The bigger it gets, the more information you get, and it can get kind of hard to zero in on some of the things that were easier in the beginning to know, like where you want to take something. So, we're still doing it, every every step of the way, like I said, you're kind of stepping into something new, which makes it really exciting, but can be a bit scary at times as well.
You're excited about the growth. It means that you're doing better. But then at points, I'm sure you're kind of like, all right, people, slow down. Like, we'll take a few orders next week. This is a bit much. You guys have such a heavy focus on community and ingredients. And I think really everything a consumer now wants from a brand and really requires from a brand, we don't want brands who aren't focused on the ethical side of it. But that wasn't as popular when you guys got started out, and it's very expensive to make sure that you're having all the best ingredients in, doing donations, doing community outreach. Why was that such an important element for you guys to have right out of the gate?
It's always been so important to us, and it goes back to family in a lot of ways. It was an important thing for our grandmother, whether she was training an esthetician that was going to be carrying her line, and she would literally have them like stay at her house for a week to help them afford. So it's just that type of being open to taking care of others and learning from others that we always saw growing up and learned from our family, that as we built Youth of the People, we wanted to embody that. And at the same time, we have a desire to be the best and only use the best. And if we are going to put the best ingredients that we eat and drink, we're going to put that in our skincare. So it's that combination of just wanting to help, that, you know, being fortunate enough to be able to help others. Also, we want to learn from others, and then just wanting the best. And that wanting the best applies to all the products we make, and applies to, you know, we care about the planet, we care about people, and we're going to put that same effort into it.
Yeah. And I think that contributes to a lot of Youth of the People's success, that people recognize that and see that. I mean, the products are so great, and I love the products so much that even if y'all were the shittiest people in the world, it'd be hard to not use them. But I think that it makes you feel better about using the products when you read the message behind everything, when you know how sustainable it is. It makes you feel, a lot of times consuming stuff feels guilty because it feels so wasteful. And I think whenever I use your products, I don't feel that guilt. I feel like I am contributing to something good, which is such an important thing to a consumer these days. So for the ingredients, I think in the US, and correct me if I'm wrong, you guys probably know this better than me, I think there's only 11 ingredients that the FDA doesn't allow, different chemicals that they don't allow in beauty products. Why is that? Do you think that that's going to get better? And how are you regulating your products on your own to make sure that they're healthy and safe, since the FDA really isn't doing it much?
Yeah. I mean, there's a drastic difference between what's going on in the US and then in Europe, which I believe is like 1,328, I think, ingredients. So there's like a drastic difference. For us, I mean, we went off the European standard for safety just because they're so far ahead of everything. And we always recommend, like, even tiny brands, is like, eventually you're going to want to hopefully get your products internationally too. So it's good from that side. But thankfully it's kind of becoming the common denominator, like where brands need to be, because people are asking for it and they need it. But there really needs to be more regulation around cosmetics in the US. And so because of that, it falls on the responsibility of the brands. But we look at it as a good responsibility. But it's always important for every brand, I think, it's just as the individual, is learn as much as possible, really look into why things are banned or why they got a bad rap, and do they deserve the bad rap? And, you know, trying to be as transparent about education around it as possible is something we're really passionate about.
Yeah, it's really helpful when brands take that initiative, because as a consumer, luckily, most of my job is around that. So I have the time to research ingredients and try to figure out if it's good or not for me. But the average consumer doesn't have that time to look into each product. Are there any ingredients that you think are getting a bad rep right now that you don't think are that bad, or ones that we should be looking out for?
Yeah. And I think too, to kind of follow up on your last question, that kind of ties into this, is like, in a way, the consumer is driving what the brands are doing, and the brands are driving what the consumer wants, which is driving the ingredient manufacturers to go to the cleaner ingredients and cleaner forms. And it's not just about natural, it's just about clean. And there's a ton of clean synthetics that are more sustainable, better and safer for your skin, and more effective. and we, you know, believe in that and bring that into our product formulations. But, you know, now more than ever, with, if you take a look at the EU ban list, very few ingredients on that are, like, you're not really sourcing those anymore. And if you are, it's like, it's kind of like, why?
Yeah.
Because there's so many great alternatives that are proven to be better in every single way. So I think we're seeing the tides turn. So I don't know if the FDA will ever do anything, but it's kind of like just the world is making something happen, regardless of what. I think we're seeing that a lot of areas of life right now, like regardless of what government or regulations say, just people are making a change happen, which is what Eat the People is all about. And so that's what we're excited for. But ingredients themselves, I think Greg and I talk a lot about this, preservatives and fragrance always are getting a bad rap left and right. And I think the preservative conversation is starting to shift back to why preservatives are good. Because you need preservatives, no matter, especially as we bring in more plant extracts, more cool ingredients that are super effective, new forms of different vitamins that are super effective. They need to be safe. You don't want microbial, you don't want, you know, bacterial buildup. Where preservatives got a bad rap, I think, was whether it's phenoxyethanol, potassium sorbate, of course, parabens, we all know, but especially like phenoxyethanol and potassium sorbate, is they were being used to hold the product together. They weren't being used to just kill bacteria and fungal growth. A lot of these plant extracts do have those, and, you know, so, and, or where you're dipping your finger in the jar, you're using a spatula, but did you sanitize that spatula? Like all these little things. So they're doing that job. They're not holding the product together. So they're at very safe levels. Whereas I think in the past, you'd see a large level of preservatives to hold everything together and keep it consistent. Which with good formulation, you don't need that.
Yeah. And like you mentioned, with so many natural ingredients that you want in your products, they're going to have a shelf life of a week if we don't have some type of preservative in it. And that's going to be terrifying to put on your face, like some nasty ass spinach.
You won't eat 2 month old spinach that's been sitting out on your bathroom. So. But it can be in skincare.
Yeah. Fragrance has been the one that I have been so confused about personally. I have really sensitive skin. So a lot of times there are specific fragrances that I know are going to just irritate me. And most of my friends and people in my life, they're fine. So if I get a product that has a ton of fragrance in it, I just pass it off to someone else. It doesn't mean it's not a good product. And I feel like, I think it's kind of come with the experts on social media, the quote unquote experts who are doing great and looking into ingredients, but for some reason, fragrance is like the hot button ingredient right now that people are just mad about and don't want in any single product. Is there a way to differentiate between those fragrances of what's okay for you, what you should maybe patch test, and what you should avoid?
Yeah, for sure. Well, I think, you know, and people are hoping to get, you know, they want to, the highest chance that like something's not going to irritate them or it's going to work for them is what everyone's hoping, right? It's like, I can look at this and think like, okay, this is definitely going to work for me. I've had some skin sensitivities. I personally have really sensitive skin too. And so really high fragrant things I can't do, or certain ones really will throw me off. But, you know, really with a lot of ingredients, whether they're good, bad, or anything, the danger actually is in the dose. It's really about how much of something is in a formula, whether that's a good, like amazing ingredient, like vitamin C, right? You go too high and it's not good. It's going to be incredibly irritating. You go way past the level, it could be, you know, actually damaging to your skin, and that's an amazing ingredient. And so the same is true for fragrance, or other ingredients like preservatives, as Joe just mentioned. So that's where like the education of being specific about how much is in something matters so much. And really being specific with the formulas. So the amount matters is sort of like the biggest factor. And, you know, it's like 2 out of 100 people are like truly allergic to fragrance that have that. But then I think there's just there's definitely a view out there of just sort of saying like, if the one side, like this is how, it's like one size fits all approach to like, if you take these things out for sure, it's going to be okay or safe for your skin or not irritate you. And that's not necessarily true. It really comes down to specific formula and product. Always testing a small amount, always a good idea, depending on like what the SKU is. you know, a small patch test is always good.
You guys are so good at creating skincare for all. And I know that was a big mission for you to not focus on specific genders, because skincare in general has been so skewed with female products being so expensive and male products having to be like rough and tough, even though that's the last thing you want on your skin. How do you find that balance of creating skincare for all, but acknowledging that everyone's skin is very different and skincare really isn't one size fits all?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's like there's two approaches to like that we take when we look at skincare for all, and skincare for all has many meanings to us. But when you look at the products themselves and the formulations, it in some ways ties back to the fragrance. Like a lot of times the difference, like skin is skin, and people have skin types, skin conditions, and no matter gender, ethnicity, like where they live, all of these, none of that matters. It's really like the factors are, where do they live and what is their skin type? And I can find someone from different parts of the world with totally different backgrounds that has the same skin type. Mm-hmm. And that's due to like the size of your pores, the amount of large pores you have, the amount of small pores you have. Are you prone to get oily during the day? Do you keloid think all these questions come up, and how thick is your skin? That affects how much you should exfoliate. So these things really define like the product line you should use and like the products you should use. And that I think is that's how we formulate. And that's how our grandmother always formulated. That's how our aunts formulate all the products they work on. It's by type and condition. And then past that, it's that's really what it is. And then I think this, the gendering of skincare that was happening before that is really starting to go away. It was really tied to fragrance and packaging, mm-hmm. you know, but everything else, like we're putting the same actives, like depending on what you need for your skin, you need those same actives. So it was like, there would be a type of fragrance added that was not as neutral, or the packaging would, you know, the men's packaging was blue and silver, mm-hmm. and, you know, like those basics. And we approach it as, look, we are two guys making a skincare line. And so of course the design and the aesthetic is going to fall within what we are looking for. That works for everyone. And fragrance wise, certain products have fragrance, certain ones don't. And the fragrances for us are inspired by the natural extracts or the extracts that we use. And that I think drives a lot of what we do. Mm-hmm.
Not to make it too much of an ad for everyone listening, but I will say, as sensitive as my skin is and how much fragrance can irritate me, none of your products have ever irritated my skin. So awesome. Just to throw that out there. For
everyone. Oh yeah. Well, and it's not like we actually within our line, I mean, over a third of them, you know, don't have any fragrance at all, or scent, mm-hmm. we should say scent from plant oils. Really, it's like we don't even from product to product, we really look at the product and say like, okay, like the Dream Mask has plant oils that provide the scent, but like how that works for that product, mm-hmm. at that small, tiny amount to give it that experience that really, because it's really like connecting to ritual. We want to create products that like connect to people's lives day in and day out, that you look forward to using as you're taking a moment for yourself in the morning and at night. And so depending on what that skew is, we can create a better experience and something that you really are drawn to. And the more that you use something, the more you're going to get the skin benefit, right? So mm-hmm. if it has vitamin C in it and you love to use it every day, it's better for your skin. And then some products specifically, like our adaptogen line that's really focused on dry and sensitive skin, completely neutral. There's no plant extracts or oils providing scent. And so we really are extremely thoughtful. So yeah, it really depends per product. And that's probably why you find success, because depending on which one you're using, there's different things happening. Mm-hmm. And we do rigorous testing on that to make sure that, you know, they're completely great for sensitive skin and irritation. And it's actually one of the benefits of still having the professional skincare business is we actually can send products there and they can test them in the back bar in the testing facility. And so we're getting a lot of people that are trying the products along with ourselves, of course. We get the fun trial and error, trying exfoliation products and sending pictures back and forth of our face fry.
Yeah, you're so, like, oh, this one doesn't work. So moving on.
Right. I'm like, all right, well, I was red for 45 minutes, but it did.
But I feel great now.
Yeah, super soft, renewed.
Well, you guys are trying to stay ahead of the curve on every aspect. I feel like because you're you are so related to health and wellness and staying, whether it be adaptogens or your the kale cleanser from the beginning of launching. How are you staying ahead of those health trends as well? Because I feel like now that's beyond just beauty and skincare trends. It's the health world as well. Where are you getting your intel? Let us know.
Yeah. I know, I'm trying to think, you know, it's honestly a lot of, you know, different shopping that we'll find it really interesting, like boutique, you know, natural grocery stores, or even just, you know, what other like local juice shops are bringing in. That's really interesting. You know, we blend that with sort of seeing what's kind of local around Los Angeles and California and seeing like what wellness ingredients are interesting. We, you know, yerba mate was one that got really exciting because it was like an option of like amazing, like nutrient rich plant, but also with like caffeine. So it's like such a great coffee alternative. Mm-hmm. And so next thing I know, our whole team is drinking yerba mate walking around the office. And so we're like, oh, this is an epic ingredient to bring in to skincare. So mm-hmm. a lot of times we just try to let it like flow and be as natural as possible. And then on the other side, you know, Joe and I are just kind of hunter and gatherers for like the cosmetic clinical actives. And so when we were traveling, you know, we would go across the globe, everywhere from like shows in Bologna, Italy to Korea, to just learn and see what's happening in the different areas of the world where mm-hmm. they're really pushing to, pushing skin technology and just see what like speaks to us. And so we try to really find the marriage of like, you know, something that works internally in wellness so well, that's like just nutrient dense. Like it's how we try to find the most nutrient dense and antioxidant rich plants in the world. And then the newest and most effective clinical actives and science driven ingredients that are out there. So that's been a little bit harder. It's not, you know, we can't wait to go kind of like get that inspiration again. When we can.
Yeah, definitely miss like the events, the shows, the you know, ingredients, the other brands. I just really miss that part of it. It's those are always so fun.
I feel like the next couple years are going to be so creative because everyone feels so stunted and not able to like share their thoughts and their creations with everyone. So I think these next couple years are going to be really exciting to see everyone grow and change and the new inventions and what's going on.
Absolutely.
It's going to be great. Is there a specific area in the world you guys think is just so advanced with skincare and just ahead of the curve with everything?
I mean, Korea is definitely one of the most, you know, inspiring places mm-hmm. to visit. I mean, yeah, you just the amount of beauty and skincare happening there and the dedication to it is so inspiring. So that's definitely one. Mm-hmm. That comes to mind.
Korea definitely leads it. I'm trying to think past that.
Like Korea is just top
definitely
notch.
Like the top. Yeah, like the top is like a lot of inspo within mm-hmm. skincare. You know, I mean, but you know, one thing we find inspiration everywhere. So mm-hmm. especially within our ingredients and different parts of the world, especially like within the superfoods and some of the plant extracts we're looking for. They come from all over the world. And and there's a lot of innovation happening here.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say too.
Kind of a lot of innovation happening here. I mean, we make all of our products in California, and I mean, I can't tell you how many cosmetics manufacturing labs there are in California. There's a lot of them, with a lot of fantastic chemists and R&D teams, and that are meeting with all of the ingredient suppliers as well, and they're coming in with new ideas. So it's really is a great place to be making skincare.
Mm-hmm. And it's so nice to see the products and the ingredients in your skincare go hand in hand with just our general lives. It's easier to meld that into your life when you already get it and you've been hearing about it all around you, and it kind of just goes hand in hand with everything.
No, mm-hmm. absolutely.
So what's next for you guys and Youth to the People? Any new products or secrets you can share with us?
Have a new, our next product launch is March 22nd.
Oh, very soon.
Very soon. Super excited for it. What can we share? It's a new mask. It's got some pretty.
It's a very powerful mask. That's the hint.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna brainstorm that.
Yeah, there's a yeah certain there's a different lines, and that word might leave the breadcrumb of the hint.
Too much. Has it been hard developing products during quarantine and everything going on this year and everyone being remote? What has that looked like for you guys?
It's definitely been more difficult. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, everything from like the formulation side of like, you know, there was a good amount of time where we couldn't get into the lab at all, even with safety precautions, you know, it was just mm-hmm. not happening at all. So getting products to the team to test it and getting feedback and all of that. And then also just from like the packaging side, the sourcing side, the design side really mm-hmm. makes it so it's difficult. To get that collaboration and decision-making done, and then plain and simply just to get some of the sourcing and the is hard. So it's we're kind of getting more streamlined at it now and getting mm-hmm. better at it, but it's been a lot more difficult this year.
It just takes longer, and there's nothing like being in the room together, looking at the next form, mm-hmm. the goop, trying it together. You know, experiencing it together. So what are you smelling? What are you feeling? What are you seeing? And, you know, we can do that in Zoom. We can do that, but it's not the same. Mm-hmm. And especially when you're putting the whole product together with packaging, with the box, with, you know, you can't get the same total experience. So that's one of the biggest, I think, things we miss about being remote is that, yeah. that product development piece. There's just certain times where being together is better.
Hopefully we can get a little bit back to that sometime yes. soon. I'm like dying to get a vaccine. I'm like, how does this happen? What do I need to do?
I know it's coming. We're getting there.
I've had friends who are just like camping out at the sites because if they don't have enough people come at the end of the day, they're just giving them out. So they're like, I'm just going to hang out around here and see if I can get it.
Yeah. I've got a couple of friends doing the same thing too. Yeah. They're just like, yeah.
Got to do what you got to do. I'm like, all I want to do is fly home to Pittsburgh and see my family.
Oh, I know. I was going to ask, how has it been over a year?
Yeah, I saw my parents last Christmas, and then my extended family and my brother, I don't even know when, like last October, November. So it's been a minute.
Yeah, that is.
It's rough, but we're getting there. I have some faith. I feel like we all kind of like went down when it came up on the year mark that we're like another March of this, but like I have another birthday coming up. I'm like, how did I go into this pandemic 28 and I'm like about to be 30? That doesn't make any sense. But
yeah,
just focusing on skincare so it doesn't look like I'm 30 yet.
That's right.
There you go.
That's right. That's right.
Thank you guys so much. I learned so much. This was so wonderful. Can you let everyone know where to find Youth to the People products? And also, can you tell everyone how to sign up for the Youth to the People newsletter? Because I think they're so great. There's so much information in there, and it's not just focused on skincare. You guys really focus on the community and social issues and injustices. And I think it's very informative and all encompassing. So if you can let people know where to get all that info.
Yeah. I mean, everything, go to our website, youththepeople.com. Very easy to sign up. We definitely get you with the pop-ups to drop your email in so you sign up and benefit there as you do get those newsletters. We're also, so everything's available on our website as well with Sephora.com, Sephora and Sephora.com, and we're in all Sephora stores nationwide.
Awesome.
As those are open, if they're open near you, you'll be able to find our products.
There you go. I think Sephora is like on Postmates now too. It's crazy. You can get your stuff right away. So go order your Youth to the People.
Everything faster. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank
Good luck
you.
With everything. Good
Thanks,
luck
Cammy.
Being remote. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank really you. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Bye guys. Bye.